And so the Bible is real plain and clear on sin. Here it says, by one man, sin entered the world. Of course, all of us know that sin entered the human family through Adam. Adam sinned when God told him not to eat of the tree. He and Eve ate of the tree, and because of that sin, not one individual has escaped the result of that one sin, not even Christ. In fact, Christ comes down here to life Adam to pay for the first Adam sin.
Yeah, right.
And you're a sinner because Adam sinned, and you was born in sin.
Yeah.
And you was a sinner when you was a little baby. You didn't know it, but you was.
Yeah.
I think that's right. We're born in sin. We've got a sinful nature.
Yeah.
The Bible's real plain on that. Now, there's people today, religious denominations, that do not believe that. And so you have to watch them, because you go astray on that, you go astray on every other salvation doctrine. So I'm glad that Christ come down here, was born of a virgin in the likeness of sinful flesh. He didn't have any sin, but he was in the likeness of sinful flesh. Philippians 2:8 says he was found in fashion as a man, became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. He was a man, but he was God also. Of course, that's a great mystery. But I'm glad that Christ come down here, born of a virgin, born of the law, lived of the law, kept the law, went to the cross and died under the law, cursed, resurrected above the law. And when you get saved not only from sin, but you get saved from the curse of the law. But get saved from that, you get saved from wrath. But get saved from wrath, you get saved from hell. But get saved from hell, you get saved to heaven. Ain't that a blessing? I mean, you're as saved as you can get and be down here if you're saved at all. Now, you might not know that, but you're saved as you get. You're already saved totally inside, but you're not saved outside. What we're waiting on now is to get saved outside. Our problem is outside, not inside. We're just half saved right now. Supposed to be saving on ourselves. Is that right? I think that's what the preacher was talking about today. We're supposed to be working on this old man. We're already redeemed inside, but he's coming again, and we're going to get redeemed outside. What a blessing that is. And so the Bible is plain. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none good, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. The only reason you seek after God is because God's seeking after you. The Son of Man comes to seek and save that which is lost. And so if you seek God, he's already seeking you. And the seeking sin and the seeking saving gets together real quick. And you're told to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while near. That tells you the time might come when he couldn't be found. The time might come when he wouldn't be near. A good preacher friend said the other day, he said, it don't matter how bad you are, what have you done, said, that you can get saved. And I said, the only thing wrong, that's not so. There is common sins, and there's reprobate sins. And if you go so far, your conscience dies. Of course, the conscience wouldn't save you. Your conscience is the ability to know. Adam and Eve had a conscience before the sin, but it wasn't awakened. They were naked and were not ashamed. As soon as they ate of that tree of knowledge, their conscience was awakened. Then they knew they was naked and hid themselves among the trees of the garden. So your conscience wouldn't save you, but if it ever dies, you can't get saved. Now somebody said, what do you think is wrong with our nation? I said, the nation's conscience is dead. In other words, when they say it's okay to be a sodomite, it's okay for same-sex marriage, it's okay for transgender, okay for all these reprobate sins, that tells you their conscience is dead. They don't know the difference. So you better guard your conscience. Thank God for a pure conscience. Amen. Oh, praise God. I'm glad the Lord, before all this liberalism, all this reprobate sins got here, some of us older ones remember when it wasn't nice to be all these perverts. And now television's brainwashed people today, and they don't know the difference. They think they have a right. I said, oh, no, you don't have a right to be a sodomite. You've got liberty, but not a right. You've got liberty as an American to be a pervert if you want to, but you better watch. You go too far. And one brother said, would you go with me down Atlanta to Gay Pride Day to preach the homos? I said, no, I'm as close to them as I want to get. He said, why would you go down there? I said, God didn't send in the preachers of Sodom. He sent some angels to burn the place. And I'm telling you right now, did you know in Noah's day they went too far for preaching? In Lot's day they went too far for preaching. That's the 2 days Jesus said is going to be again, the last days. They go too far for preaching. While you can, you better hear the word of God. Be swift to hear, so to speak, so to rest. Find out you're a wicked, no good, hell-deserving, hell-bound sinner. That's the first thing you find out from God. Holy Ghost reproves the world of sin. First work of the Spirit of God, not the day Christ led you, it's to tell you that you're a condemned sinner. Reprove. Put the blame on you. You know what? Reconciliation is a great doctrine in the Bible. But you know what? It takes two to be reconciled. You know why a lot of marriages fall apart and they can't get reconciled? Because they won't take the blame. See, before you can get reconciled to God, you take the blame. You've offended God. Now, David sinned against Uriah. He sinned against Uriah's wife. Read Psalm 51 in his prayer of repentance. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. So your sin's against God first. It is your sin put Christ on the cross. It is my sin put him up there. Hadn't been for us, he wouldn't have died. He just died on account of us. You got to take the blame. You don't ever take the blame, you don't get no benefits. That's what repentance is, taking the blame. Taking sides of God against yourself. The Bible said the written God was in Christ, reconciled the world to himself. The reconciling work's been done and accomplished. Then Paul turned around and said in 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then we're ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now the reconciling work's already been done, but it won't do you any good. It's appropriated to you by faith. So that's how you get reconciled to God, is to plead guilty. Ask for forgiveness with a broken heart, and God for Christ's sake forgives you and reconciled you. That's bringing you back on friendly terms. See, the sinner's not on friendly terms with God. He's God's enemy. God's not his enemy, he's God's enemy. Men's wicked sinners. Somebody said that fellow's a good guy. Well, he might be a good guy morally, but he's a bad guy. He's not meant to be as bad off. Bad as the other fellow is, but he's bad off as he is. All of sin that comes short of the glory of God, you can't reach it. The Bible's plain on it. The Bible's plain on salvation. Now, salvation, you know, Christ came down here as a Savior. And so, the blood, salvation by the blood of Christ has been set forth. Christ shed his blood and set it forth to be a propitiation. Romans 3:24-5. The blood of Christ has been set forth. See, Christ went back to him with his own blood. He entered into the most holy place. So, he sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat, sit on the right hand of God. So you can't get to Christ without coming through the blood. You can't get the Father without coming through Christ. So if you get to God, you come through Christ, because he said, no man can come to the Father except by me. And if you get to Christ, you come with the blood. And if you come with the blood washes your sins away as you come in. That's a judicial act. The blood's been set forth. So you come to faith in that blood, and the blood washes the record clean.
Yes, sir.
And your name appears. Well, now, but one of them said, when was your name wrote in heaven? I said, I don't know. I know when I found out it was there. I don't know if he's got somebody up there writing all the time or not, but I found out my name was there. In fact, I think the little babies dies. I think their name's up there. I think sin blotted it out. That blood's been set forth. And you come with faith in that blood claims that name, your name appears. And you find out from heaven, see, that God has put your name in there. You wouldn't know it if he didn't let you know it. Two things the devil couldn't do, and he wouldn't be good. First of all, he couldn't let you know you lost. He tells you before you get saved that you're all right. Since you get saved, he tells you not all right. See, the devil can't tell the truth.
Right.
So if you find out you lost, God has to let you know it. If you find out you're saved, God has to let you know it. First way you find out you're saved is, 1 John 5:10, whosoever believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. So the Holy Ghost bears witness of our spirit that we are the sons of God. That's how you know you're saved first. Now, you get assurance from the Bible later, but the Bible, you know, you by reading the Bible, you wouldn't find out you're saved. You can get assurance that you're saved. You find out you're saved by the Spirit of God. Must be born with the Spirit of God. So the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit. So if you got the Spirit inside, when you read the Bible, hear the Word of God preached, it bears witness with your spirit that we're the children of God. If any man not of the Spirit of Christ, he's not of his. That's just what it says. So the Bible, you know, is plain on salvation. Christ saved us from the penalty of sin. He saves us from the pleasure of sin. He saves us from the power of sin. Now, sin don't have dominion over us now. So I remember when sin ruled me. Now, I couldn't quit drinking whiskey and shooting dice, playing poker, all those wicked things. But as soon as I got saved, he saved me from the control and the power of sin. That don't mean I couldn't sin, but it means I don't like to sin. I've been delivered from being controlled. Sin's not reigning now. Grace is reigning. Sin did reign of death. Now grace will reign through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I'm glad the grace of God gets inside of you. Generally, he's controlling your life. As many as the led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. So if God don't bother you when you sin, that's bad evidence that you're not saved. See, God's been bothering me ever since He started bothering me. See, He started bothering me more than 60 years ago. And He's been bothering me about sin ever since then. Yes. Amen. Right. You say, well, I'm sin and I don't feel bad about it. Well, I wouldn't have your religion. You were told not to sin. Fellow said, well, you preach perfection. I said, that's right. How could I preach a perfect Bible for a perfect God and a perfect Spirit and not preach perfection? So you say, well, I can't live perfect. Well, I can't either, but you can try to. If the grace of God touches you, you're in pursuit of holiness. And when you do sin, you're bothered about that sin till you get right with God. You confess your sin. Sin bothers the people of God. If you can go ahead and live your life and sin that don't bother you, your religion is no good. Just well forget it. Holy Spirit dwells in you. If the Holy Spirit's grieved, your spirit's grieved. If your spirit's grieved, you can't be happy. You don't enjoy the singing, don't enjoy the praying, the preaching, the fellowship, another, until you get right with God if you're saved. Now, you have to watch that, because a lot of folks in these last days, they think they're saved by asking some questions from a preacher. You know, they've been led through a prayer on mechanics, of the Baptist mechanics. That's not salvation. Jesus said you must be born again. So except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, you know, you really can't see the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is not with observation. Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God not meat and drink, with righteousness, peace, and joy, and the Holy Ghost. So you can't see the kingdom of God till you're born of the Spirit, because it's an invisible kingdom. There is a visible kingdom, but the kingdom of God is the invisible kingdom. It is not meat and drink, righteousness, peace, and joy, in the Holy Ghost. So we're in the kingdom of God right now. Christ is the king of the kingdom of God, and the king of the kingdom of heaven also. And so there's a mystery form of the kingdom of heaven right now, Matthew 13, and the kingdom of God is in the mystery form of the kingdom of heaven. But in the kingdom of heaven, it's likened unto 10 virgins, likened unto good fish and bad fish, tares and wheat, all in the kingdom of heaven, the visible part. But all of them's not saved, see? The kingdom of God within that. That's the one we're in. Somebody said, well, I go to church. I said, well, I go in the barn, but that don't make me immune because I go in the barn. A lot of people, they think because going to a church house, they're saved. Did you know there's no such thing as a church house in the New Testament? No such thing as a church house. One brother said, well, I think people ought to preach at the church house. I thought the early church didn't have no church house. They preached on the streets and in the homes, over to synagogues, made the Jews mad. That is right. And if we're not careful, we get all of our religion in a church building.
Yes, sir.
The believers are the building. You're the building of God. Holy Ghost dwells in us, not this building here. Thank God for a good building. Thank God for good padded pews. You're going to take a nap, you need a soft place to sit. But look here, God ain't dwelling in this. When we leave here, the church is not here when we leave. The church is here right now because the believers are the building. Amen. So the Bible is clear on separation. Separation. I'm not a legalist. I'm not a legalist. A lot of people, they demand you do so and so. Well, I think we'll be strict, preach what Christians should do, and ought to do, and enjoy doing. But we enjoy living for God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And so we've got to have a preacher that preaches it straight to us and tells us what we don't know about the Bible, because this grace of God teaches us we're to deny ungodliness and we're left in this present world. Amen. We're to do right. You can't beat that, can you? Christ redeemed us from all iniquity and purifies us unto himself, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. They're not saved by works, but you're not saved without works. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Galatians 5:6 said, in Christ Jesus, not circumcision, uncircumcision, but faith, which worketh by love. So if you got saving faith, love puts you to work. Faith without works is dead. So faith will put you to doing right if it's unfeigned faith. Now Paul said to Timothy, he thanked God that he had unfeigned faith, which was first in his grandmother, then in his mother. Now some people have feigned faith. That's fictitious faith. It's not real faith. You know, it's a superficial faith. It's historical faith. You can have historical faith and believe in Christ like you believe in George Washington. A lot of people around here, and I'd say about all the folks down south, older ones, they believe in Christ historically. I believe in that when I was in my worst state as a sinner. I always believe Christ the virgin born, believe in the sinless life, believe in his death at the cross, believe in his bodily resurrection, believe in Christmas and Easter, New Year, and all that. But I wasn't saved. You know, that could be superficial faith. Saving faith takes hold of Christ and never turn loose. Saving faith receives Him. By receiving Him, you get all of His benefits. You're joined to Christ by faith. Don't know God by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So faith, the gift of God, descended from heaven. So God gives them some faith by hearing the Word of God. Then it's His responsibility to exercise faith based on the Word of God. So our salvation is based on the Bible. Believing the Bible is not salvation, but it's based on the Bible. Christ, the living Word, is our Savior. The Bible gives us assurance about our salvation. You can read the Bible, find out for help. See, a lot of people say they know they're saved, but they don't know they're saved for good. Yeah, they know they're saved, but all they've ever heard is them scriptures out of context that looks like a fellow might lose out.
Yes, sir.
Some scriptures look like he might lose out.
Yes,
like Matthew 24 said, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Hebrews 3:14, we'll make the things of Christ, behold, the beginning of a confidence steadfast to the end. That's just what it says. And there's one verse over there in Luke 9:62, I think it is, where most people misquote that. He that puts his hand in the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. But that's not what it says, really. It says, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back. In other words, he didn't start plowing, he just took hold of the plow looking back. You can't go both directions. See, you can't be looking back and get saved. You've got to go the other way. Now, fit for the kingdom of God if you look back while you're trying to get saved. So you have to watch that. You have to watch that. You know, the Bible's real clear. Salvation is eternal salvation. Eternal things have no beginning and no ending. So eternal life didn't start when I got it. My eternal life didn't start when I got it. My eternal life is Christ, and Christ always has been. So I don't have time to go into that, but you know, that's probably the old Baptist football, they believe in eternal security. Because that security was in Christ, and Christ does the Lamb thing before the foundation of the world. When you get into Christ, you get an eternal plan and purpose. So your security goes all the way back and all the way forward. Because Christ is your security. Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It's always been blood. Blood now, be blood when you get to heaven, you sing a song about the blood. Revelation 5, plainly says that. In verse 9, they sung a new song, saying, that word, take the book and loose the seal, look down, for thou wast slain. I should even bless the God by thy blood. Out of every kindred and nation, people have sung. They sing about the blood over in heaven. That's what we sing about it down here. We like it. Amen. The Bible's real plain on that. The Bible's actually plain on the second coming, though they have to watch because it might be in two phases. The Lord Himself descended heaven with a shout. The Lord Himself. When the Lord appeared to Israel, always just angels with Him. Even at His birth, angels sung to the Jewish shepherds. When He went back to heaven in Acts 1, angels stood by, said the same Jesus. He's going to Matthew 24:29, when He comes in power and great glory, He sends angels to get His elect. That's not church elect. That's Israeli elect. We're a tribulation elect. When He comes for the church, the Lord Himself comes in the bridegroom for a bride. We're part of the bride. We've been a spouse, one husband. Now, some of our good Baptist friends, they think nobody gets saved till the church travails because they think the church is the wife and he's the husband. I said, wait, you're too fast. We're not married yet. We don't get married until Revelation 19. Well, right now, we're espoused. Espoused to one husband. Jesus is coming after His bride. And He's coming by Himself. Going to descend in heaven with a shout. And the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, dead Christ will be raised first. Philip said, what does that mean? I said, it means dead Christ will rise first. Don't need to go get a commentary. Just believe what it says. Living saints going to be chained, caught together with them. Amen. Praise God, we're going to be out of town. Paul said, behold, I'll show you a mystery. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Now, mystery has something been hidden this time. So, but back before the New Testament wrote, they believed in a general resurrection. Martha believed in a general resurrection, John chapter 11. Uh-huh. And Jesus said, Lazarus is going to rise again. She said, no, we're at the last day of the resurrection. But the mystery hadn't been revealed then. See, Paul said, I'm going to show you a mystery about the resurrection. We shall not all sleep. That's church official. But we shall all be changed. The moment we turn to the last time. For the trumpet shall sound, death shall be raised in purple, and we shall be changed. That's the fulfillment of the mystery.
Yes,
that was hid. See, the church was the mystery. Peter didn't understand the joint body of both Jew and Gentile. He didn't know that, what we call Great Commission. He didn't know that took in Gentiles. He thought that was Jews scattered around. Because he wouldn't even go to a Gentile's house, Acts 10. The Lord recommissioned him down 3 times, had to let a sheep down to recommission Peter, because he thought there was nobody going on it but the Jews. But Paul came along and got the mystery of the church. How that God's going to make up a joint body of both Jew and Gentile by the baptism of the Spirit of God.
Yes,
ain't that a blessing?
Yes.
And now, in Christ, I'm neither Jew or Gentile now, but one in Christ. Now, that don't mean God give up on the nation of Israel. He's going to deal with them later, but in this dispensation, He's making a joint body of both Jew and Gentile with the baptism of the Spirit of God into one body. Christ is one head. I just got one body. We're sealed out of the day of redemption. But of course, Romans 9, 10, 11, you read that, that's the past, present, and the future of Israel. So when the church age runs its course, the Lord calls us out, then it turns back to Israel again. And the Lord deals with Israel then. I'm glad I'm in this dispensation. This is the best dispensation this far. I think there's coming a better one later.
Oh, yeah.
But right now, this is the best one up to now. Oh, yeah. Praise God. The Lord wants us to understand our position in Christ. Yeah. We're accepted and beloved. We're receiving all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus right now. As far as God's concerned, we're already there. As far as you're concerned, you're down here. But the Bible said you're dead and you're alive here with Christ and God. That's God's side. You're dead, but you're not dead. But He said you're dead. That's Colossians 3. And lives here with Christ in God. In other words, what means that you're up there in spirit, you're down here in body. Christ is up there in body, down here in spirit. So He leaves up there in body, we leave down here in body, have a meeting in there. It's really as good as done. Of course, what does it say? Well, what's happening now? I said, right now, we're just getting ready to leave out of here. See, the Bible's plain on the second coming. And you know what you're told to do? Rejoice in hope. You're not told to sing the blues because the Democrats and Republicans are into it. Listen, we're victims of the time. We're right where we're supposed to be prophetically. It's got to get bad. Somebody said, well, it's getting bad. And I said, yeah, it's going to get worse. But wait, it's going to get better for some of us. It's going to get better. It won't be long. But all this right here. You know, the church, we're in the Laodicean time. We're in a time of being lukewarm. Too bad to be good, too good to be bad. Too far in to be out, too far out to be in. Just everybody's got religion, you know. But when the Lord comes and gets His own believers, then it's going to be too bad down here, but it's going to be good over there. What you need to do is be ready. Make sure that you're ready. The Bible's real plain on the second coming and the second death. If you don't go up with the Lord when He comes, you will die the second death if you're not careful. Death means separation, never means annihilation. When Adam sinned, he was separated from God. He died spiritually. When you die physically down here, it's separation. I've had people ask me, said, well, do you know what the soul is, Brother Mitchell? Tell me what the soul is. I said, you been to a funeral? He said, yes. I said, you go around the casket and look in? He said, yes. I said, part that's gone. Part's not there. Body without the spirit, dead. So whatever the soul is, whatever's connected with it, moved out. Bible real plain with that. That's death. That's separation. Body's still here. Soul's gone. So it's separation. So there's coming a second death in Revelation chapter 20. That's eternal separation. That's why it's called a second death. It was not found written in the book of life, was cast in the lake of fire, which is the second death. That's eternal separation from God forever. I believe that's right, don't you? Forever gone. See, if we're saved, we've got eternal life. If you meet God in your sins and face the white throne, you'll be separated and have eternal death in the lake of fire and brimstone. It's a second death. Never to come back. One time I was in a meeting and this good Calvinist preacher was preaching and he kept saying, talking about the depravity of the sinner, he said, you can't get any deader than dead. The sinner's just dead. You can't get any deader than dead. And we went to eat breakfast and I waited. He's older than me and he's a good fellow, a good preacher. Next morning, breakfast, I said, hey, I think there's one way of getting deader than dead. He said, what do you mean? I said, you can get twice dead. Jude tells about false prophets whose truth withers without, don't have any fruit. Their fruit withered. Twice dead. And plucked up with the root. See, if you're just dead in sin, you might get made alive. But if you ever get twice dead, you can't never get made alive. There's some people in this world twice dead now. Have you been made alive in Christ? That's what salvation is, a quickening. Makes the spirit alive. Makes you alive toward God. You were dead toward God, now you're alive toward God. And you're alive toward God's people, the things of God. He made you alive. Now some living people act dead. You ever seen anybody's alive act dead? That's called fainting in Hebrews chapter 12. They faint in their mind, not in their heart, they faint in their mind. A fainting person is not dead, but they act dead and not aware of what's going on around them. A lot of Christians nowadays, I think, because they took their eyes off the Lord, they didn't pray and set your faith on things above, they got fainted in their mind. They don't know the difference in a real good service and a dead one. They're faint. They're not aware of what's going on around them. So you have to keep yourself in the love of God in these days. You couldn't keep yourself saved, but you can keep yourself in the love of God. Keep a courtship love going for the Lord. If you don't keep your courtship love going in your marriage is in trouble. If you don't keep a courtship love going with the Lord, your Christian life's in trouble. That's where people get in trouble. They don't keep a courtship love. That's what the church in Antioch was doing in Acts 13. They was ministering to the Lord. They had a courtship love going with the Lord, and the Holy Ghost said to them, separate Saul and Barnabas. The work runs of God. You know, that's why he said seven times in Revelation 3 to the churches, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. You know what that tells me? A lot of folks in there couldn't hear what the Spirit was saying.
That's right.
They're fainted in their mind if they was even saved. May God help us be awake to righteousness and sin not. Amen. Somehow not the faith of Christ. We need to be much awake in these days. Praise God. I'm glad I'm saved. Yeah. And I'm glad I'm saved for good. Yeah. Are you saved? Can you go back to a time in your life when the Lord made you a new creature? You might not always act exactly saved, but you can remember that time, can't you, when the Lord made you new? I say praise God for that. I've not always been on the mountaintop, but I've always been saved since I got saved. Times I didn't feel saved. They used to say up in the mountains, and I said it till I learned it wasn't so. And they said, you just get out of the service what you put in the service. And I found that wasn't so because I've been in church a long time when I couldn't put anything in. I was so defeated and depressed, and I could just barely get in, so in the back seat, I couldn't put nothing in. After a while, somebody got singing in the Spirit, and praying in the Spirit, testifying in the Spirit, preaching in the Spirit. First thing you know, I felt saved again. Of course, I saved all the time, and I just didn't feel saved. That's what the church is for. Help those that don't feel saved. That'll make you feel saved. Stir you up. Actually, the assembly, according to Hebrews 10, 24 and 5, let us consider one another to promote love good works. In other words, the assembly, not only for worship, but it's for one another. Not forsaking the assembly itself together, as some is, but exhorting one another. Uh-huh. There might be somebody, you know what kind of battle they've been in. You don't know how they're fighting the devil. And you might be a real blessing. Tell them, you're glad to see them. Appreciate them coming today. Be sure and come back tonight. Sure. Something might happen, you might need to get in on them. It might happen. Right. If you miss, you might miss it for good if you miss it. That's why I always like to be there. My worst service is better than my best day as a sinner. May God bless you.
God gives life, God takes it away. He's the potter, we are the clay. When I view the last sunset and cross o'er the sea, another sunrise will be waiting for me. Oh, what a sunrise that's going to be. Death will lose its sting, the grave its victory. The silence will be broken as the storms are rolled away. We'll hear the saints of ages singing on that homecoming day. Time will come for last goodbyes. There's a smile, though tears dim the eye. Death will take us, but only to sleep in the arms of our Savior so sweet. Silence will be broken. the storm are rolled away, we'll hear the saints of ages singing on that homecoming day. The silence will be broken as the storms are rolled away, we'll hear the saints of ages singing.